This is the Generation Example Podcast.
So I am going to give you the biblical kind of idea. What does the Bible say about abortion, okay? That's kind of where I'm going to come. But I want you to feel free to ask any question about abortion you want. It doesn't have to be a Bible question. It could be whatever. So I'm going to open it up, but this is where I'm going to speak for a minute. And again, if I'm talking and you guys have a question, text it back to Charles. Let me give you guys some stats. 22% of all pregnancies in the United States end in abortion. You guys realize that? Almost a quarter of all pregnancies end in abortion. Over 1 million abortions a year, something around 1.2, 1.3. Here's another stat. 18% of all abortions are teenagers. I thought that was very interesting. So this is definitely something that young people deal with. But, more importantly, 50%, this is the crazy stat, 50% of women in their 20s, or 50% of abortions are from women in their 20s. So in my mind, I'm thinking this is a great time for us to be talking about that, because although there aren't as many abortions for young people, it is an issue that's going along for young people. And many of you may know somebody who has had an abortion. There may be somebody in here who's had an abortion, right? With the numbers, it's probably accurate. But also I think as you go on to the next stage in life, as you guys go on to college, as you guys go on to start careers, this is going to be something that's going to grow amongst you and your peers. And so I think it's important now that we begin to talk about it and we begin to just get it out there. Right, because there's a lot of different opinions about what the Bible says, about what's right, what's wrong, and all this stuff. So I think this is a great time for us to talk about this subject. So what does the Bible say about abortion? Well, to be honest, the Bible doesn't say anything about abortion. Right, the word abortion doesn't appear in the Bible. The Bible doesn't really say a lot about the actual term abortion. It's probably a fairly new term anyway. I think when they were writing the Bible, they didn't really have a word called abortion. But what the Bible does talk about is it does talk about unborn children, and it actually talks a lot about unborn children. I was actually quite surprised about how many verses, when I did a little research, was really geared towards the unborn child. Now, I'm not going to give them all to you because I want to keep this a little bit brief so we have time to answer all your questions. But what I am going to do is I'm going to lay out some really cool scriptures in the Bible that are really directed towards the unborn child. And basically, the biblical position on abortion is this. The Bible says that murder is wrong, right? We are not supposed to murder. The Bible also says that the unborn children are people, right? Right? So the Bible says murdering people is wrong. It also says that unborn children are people, so therefore, therefore, if we terminate the unborn, is calculated as murder, right? So this is the biblical position. So what I want to do is I want to show you where does the Bible talk about the unborn and show that they're actual people, not just a bunch of cells, right? Because that's what you're going to hear, you know. You're going to hear abortion is just a bunch of cells, kind of like your dry skin, and having an abortion is kind of like peeling off your fingernail and throwing it away or whatever, right? That's kind of what they're going to tell you, right? Some of the things I've heard. Right? So here's my first one. This is Matthew 1, and I love this. The first thing I want to show is that Jesus and other unborn are actually called baby and children in the Bible. Right? And if we look at Matthew 1, verse 20, I love this. This is when the angel is talking to Joseph. You guys remember Mary was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and the angel, Joseph was pretty mad because all of a sudden his wife, who he never knew biblically, right, is all of a sudden pregnant, and he's like, man, I got to put this woman out because, you know, she's pregnant. We ain't even been married yet. I don't know who she's sleeping with. And she said it was done by God. You know, that's kind of weird. But then an angel came to Joseph and said this. Joseph says, but after Joseph thought about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. And the angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to accept Mary as your wife. The baby that has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And so right here, it's really cool. You see that the actual conception happens, and what happens after conception is you have a baby, right? It's not a fetus. It's not a bunch of cells, but it's actually a child. There's another verse talking about John the Baptist. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the unborn baby, this is John the Baptist, inside of her jumped, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? And this idea that this baby that was inside of her leapt, and the Holy Spirit was filled this baby. Right? And so this it's showing you that these babies are not just tissues and cells, but they're actual people. Right? And I like those verses. The baby's not a fetus. You know, one of the things that some of these organizations like Planned Parenthood do is they re-term things, right? So they don't call the baby a baby, but they call it a fetus, right? They call it, they don't say, you know, they use their words very carefully, right? Because the word fetus doesn't have any emotional connection, right? It's just more like a biology term, right? But when you say baby, right, that evokes some emotion, right? And so a lot of times they want to disconnect you with the baby, so they don't call it a baby, right? They don't call it killing the baby. They call it terminating the fetus, right? And so they use different terms to try to get you, so it kind of twisted a little bit, right? Because if you say different words, you think different ways, and then it becomes okay. Next one, the unborn are known personally by God. I like this. The unknown are known personally. God knows the unborn as people and has personal relationship with them, just as God has personal relationship with us. This is Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. This is God talking about the prophet Jeremiah. He's saying, look, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Right? How do you know a bunch of cells? Right? How do you know something that isn't alive? How do you know something that's not a person? Right? God is speaking to a personal relationship he has, right, with people before they're even in the womb. And this speaks to something that's awesome about God. There are no accidents with God. Right? You may have in this world been an accident, right? You may have been conceived in the back seat of a Chevy or something, right? It may have been, you know what I'm saying? It may have been an accident in the natural world. But let me tell you, once that sperm hit that egg, there was no accident with God. And God has a plan for your life, and God has a purpose for you. And that's what these verses speak for. It says, before the foundation of the world, he knew that he had a plan for your life, right? And so there is no accidents. Another one is Psalms 139. It says, for I formed your inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret, intricately woven in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substances. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Right? So it's no accident, right, that God has created us. Right? You were not an accident. God knew you and created you in that womb. Right? He knew you personally. Right, and that's an awesome thing. Last thing, real quick. In the Bible, the unborn are protected by the same punishment as for adults. And this is a crazy verse. This is Exodus 21. This is from the Old Testament. Verse 21, 22, and 23. If you guys don't know, the book of Exodus was all the rules for the Jewish people. Right, all the punishments and everything that happened. And this is what they said. They said, if people are fighting and a pregnant woman is hit and gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands of the court and the court allows. But if there is a serious injury, you are to take life for life. Because the Bible, you are to take life for life. So what he's saying there is, look, if there's an altercation and there's a pregnant woman and something happens to her that endangers the baby and actually kills the baby, then that person who killed the baby, right, even if it was unborn, is liable. And back then, they were hardcore. It was a life for life. If you took a life, they take your life, right? So eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. You guys heard all that? That was the adult punishment. But that same punishment, right, was in effect for the unborn. So if you were to kill an unborn baby, you're dead, right? They're going to kill you, right? The same punishment. Right? So, and there's more verses in there. These are just some of the ones that I thought were awesome. So I think it's pretty easy to see that the Bible values the unborn as people, right? The Bible communicates them personally. The Bible communicates them. There's the same punishment for them, right? The Bible calls unborn children and babies, right? The Bible uses personal pronouns for them, right? They are shown in the Bible as people. Right? So not only does the Bible speak against killing the unborn, but I also want to speak to a little bit of the emotional effect that happens when you commit an abortion. And I think, you know, and the thing that that messes with me, I'm like, if it was just nothing more than ripping your fingernail off or tearing some skin off, then why is there so much of an emotional toll that happens when people go through the abortion process? I have a good buddy, and he told me, I can tell you his name. His name is Simon Woodstock, and he came and spoke at our Ignite. I don't know if you guys remember that guy. He has a crazy testimony. He totally loves the Lord right now, but he was sharing with me, he loves to speak to young people about abortion, and I asked him to come, but he was actually preaching at another church, so he wasn't able to. But he wanted me to share this story with you, that 15 years ago, he kind of talked with his girlfriend and kind of encouraged her to have an abortion. And it really has played a big stress on his life. I mean, every Father's Day, he says, Father's Day comes around, and he just thinks about that child that would have been like 15 years old now, and that he doesn't have a relationship with. And he goes into a little bit of a depression, right? And he's just being honest, you know. You know, he says one of the things that has hurt him the most throughout his life in the last, you know, 15 years is that decision to kill the baby. And it's been a very hard thing for him to kind of move past. Now, there is hope and there is restoration in God. I mean, God has done a work in healing him. And so he's not like, you know, suicidal or anything. He's not crazy, but it doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that there's not a trial and a challenge when a decision like that is made, because it can be very difficult for you to move past. But the awesome thing is that there's hope in Christ, right? And that Jesus Christ has the power to forgive you. If you believe in Christ and you have committed abortion, you are already forgiven. That's the awesome thing. There is no unforgivable sin. And abortion and murder and like a lot of other things are sins, and there is life after sin. The problem isn't that people commit abortions. The problem is that we're all sinners, right? And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins so that we could have hope and a future in him. And so, you know, that's the biblical kind of perspective on abortion. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to introduce our panel that's going to come up, and we have about 20 minutes. I think that's good. So if I can have our panel, first off, is Miss Andrea Dupre. Come on, everybody, give Andrea a hand. Second one, we have a special guest in here, Shirley Portier, right? Did I get it right? Everybody give Shirley a hand. Shirley is I gotta let you explain who you work for, but she is a representative of Real Options, who they are an organization here in Mountain View. Who help deal with young people in pregnancy. And our last one is our very own volunteer, Jessica Uploff. Where are you at, Jessica? Jessica, come on up. Everybody give Jessica a hand. Okay, so here we go. We got 20 minutes. You guys all got your questions in? All right, question number one. Does the baby who dies go to heaven? Oh, this is like a theological question. I should probably answer that one. Huh? I'm going to answer this one. This is a good question, by the way. There are different people in different churches believe different things about what happens to a baby when it dies. So the traditional view, which most evangelical, meaning us like Christians, believe, they believe in something called the age of accountability, where if you are young and you die, because, you know, a little baby hasn't had a chance to make a decision for Christ. It, you know, they don't know any better, right? And so what a lot of people believe is that there's an age, and we don't know what that age is, but there's an age when, as you grow, God makes you accountable for that decision. But he doesn't make you accountable for that decision until you've reached an age where you know and understand what decision you're making. Does that make sense? There are scripture verses in the Bible when it talks about, if you guys don't know, David and Bathsheba's son died at a young age because of the sin that happened between David and Bathsheba, and the son actually ended up dying. But when David prays for the son, he actually says he knows the son is with him in the kingdom, right? And so even in that gives us a picture of David understanding that that baby went to be in heaven, right? And so a lot of people have had the idea that there is this age of accountability. Now, some people don't believe that. Some Christians, there's other traditions that believe no. Because we are all sinners at birth, babies don't go to heaven. So they have traditions where they baptize infants, and you guys see some churches do infant baptizing. and they just to cover the baby to make sure that the faith of their parent kind of carries the baby until they get to that stage where they make their own declaration of faith. So there's different variations of how that works out, but that's kind of how we think about babies and death in heaven or hell. That was a hard question. Good job. Next question, Charles. How do you decide whether or not to have an abortion?
So, good morning. My name is Shirley Portier, and I work at Real Options, and we're an organization that offers free pregnancy tests, counseling, referrals, medical care for those who have that need. And we've been around for 31 years, and we're faith-based, so churches like Abundant Life and private donors give money, so all of those services are free. So if you ever needed a pregnancy test, the ultrasound, any of that, you can come to our center and have that for free and confidential and get information. So to answer this question, how do you decide? So when you're pregnant, you only have three options. You can choose pregnancy, parenting, you could choose adoption, or you could choose abortion. And so what we do at our center is we help you look at all three of those options so that you can make an informed decision on what you're choosing. No one can tell anybody what to do, but we can give you information and we can tell you truths, and then we trust you to make an intelligent decision based on the facts that you have. So that's what we do at Real Options, and we don't perform abortions or we don't refer for abortions because we believe abortions have a mind, body, and spirit effect on people. And so while we give you information on them, we do not perform abortions at Real Options.
All right, let's go to the next question. When is an abortion okay?
I actually decided not to have an abortion. Many of you know my daughter. She's 10 now. I was 17 when I got pregnant with her. And decided not to, but I know friends of mine who had, and I know there's extreme situations where some people feel like if you've been raped or sexually abused, that you can, but then again, like she was saying, if there's somewhere where you're provided with options, and you can make an informed decision, it really depends on your situation, because just no one can tell you what's right or wrong. It's really bottom line between you and God in the end. And so, you know, because I actually thought about it. And to think, knowing my daughter now, to try to picture my life without her in it, it brings me to tears sometimes, just to think of what I could have done. So it's really, it just depends on your situation and, you know, how you choose to deal with it.
I think the two most common scenarios where people argue most for abortions are, you guys probably know these. Well, what's the first one? Anybody want to take a guess? Rape, right? Rape is the number one. You guys know what the second one probably is? It's when the baby is most likely not going to be alive or potentially could be deformed or Down syndrome or whatever. A lot of people, if you guys don't know this, when you go through the process of being pregnant, and you start talking with your doctor, they do a bunch of tests on you, or they can if you want, and they'll tell you if your baby's likely to be Down syndrome, if it's likely to have some sort of disorder, and then at that point is when the discussion of abortion oftentimes will come up. And here's the argument for it, and I'll just lay them out there right now. Rape is a horrible thing, right? And so this is a very difficult topic, right? Because on the one hand, you have this horrible accident that happens with the mom, and you know, she gets violated, this horrible thing happens, and then she gets pregnant. And what a trauma it would be to have her actually bring the baby, maybe the unwanted baby in many cases, to term, you know, and she'd have to live with that the rest of her life. So a lot of people say, well, this is the one place where we should, you know, abort the baby. My philosophy is much different. I mean, I agree it's horrible and there's trauma, but on the one hand, we think, well, why is the baby then getting punished, right, for what happened to the mom and this guy, this total loser who did something to her, right? If anything, that guy needs to get punished, right? If anybody needs to die, it's him, right, not the baby, right? And so, and I'm not for going out and killing people who are rapists, but I'm just saying, like, in my mind, that's the guy that needs to suffer, right? I think So the hard part is weighing that out, you know, like, does the baby really need to suffer? Well, no. Is it going to be really difficult for the mom? Yeah. But that's the result of some horrible sin that this guy did, right? This guy needs to be punished. The other one is an even more difficult case, I would say, and that's if your baby is going to be disabled. My sister actually got the news that her son was going to have Down syndrome. And she was very devastated, I know. And I remember the doctors were talking, you know, if you want to abort the baby, you can. My sister was like, absolutely not, you know. Even if it means I have to raise a child with Down syndrome the rest of his life, this is still a life that God had created. This is still my son. We're just going to go through it. And it just so happened that when he was born, there was absolutely nothing wrong with him. And so she was just like, oh, my goodness. Like, here's the doctor trying to convince me to terminate the baby. They weren't really trying to convince her, but just talking to her about that when she would have terminated a perfectly healthy baby. So, I mean, it's really complicated and it's really sticky. I think from a Christian perspective, abortion is never okay. I think what Shirley is saying is good. That's your decision to make. We can't force anybody to do anything because we do live in a free country. Okay, next question. Is the morning after pill or plan B a sin as well? Do you want to take that? Because I know nothing about them.
The question is plan B a sin? So what the plan B pill is, it's a mega dose of the birth control. So I don't know how many of you know what birth control is, but it comes in a dial pack or a square pack. And what it does is it makes the inside where the woman has a uterus, where the baby, a womb, where the baby is, it thickens that wall. So it just kind of makes you thick, you know, like bacon. You guys know bacon? Okay. Makes it thick in there. And so then when all the things that come along that need to attach, it won't attach. And so taking this pill on purpose is really bad for you because people think, oh, I'll take the pill, I won't be pregnant. But they don't know that it gives you high blood pressure. Your body could flip into diabetes. Your hair could fall out. Like, I had a girl that came into the office who took 20 of these pills trying not to be pregnant, but then she went into kidney failure. So when you think you're doing one thing, you have a fallout from something else. So to tell somebody to take the plan B pill, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. Always follow your doctor. And the real truth is, if you don't want to be pregnant, then make a choice that doesn't set you up for that. Because if you do, if you're at risk, you will be at risk. And taking that pill isn't good. So while I have just this second, I want to tell you there's a RU486 pill, which is the abortion pill. And so those of you who watch TV, First 48, the murder terms, the police terms. So the police use the term 87, like 187 is a killing. And it, the name that they named this pill is amazing because it says RU486ing. So 86ing is a death. So RU486 is the name of the pill. But they're really asking you before you take the pill, are you ready for this death?
Wow.
So they're not even trying to hide it. It's just us being wise and having wisdom. The Bible says we perish because we don't have knowledge. And so I'm really here to tell you guys that you can make an informed decision. You can really say to yourself, what do I want to do? Who wants to come and decide to have an abortion? Who wants to come and hide and make this decision and live with it a lifetime? Because whether you're pregnant, you place your child for adoption, if you have an abortion, you live with it for a lifetime, the rest of your life. So the real question is, do you want to be pregnant?
Thank you, Shirley. Okay. And if you guys have any other questions, you guys feel free to raise your hands too if you guys are okay asking just like that. Charles, hit me back. Are all Christians supposed to be pro-life?
When you read the Bible, it's very clear that God loves children, God loves all of us, he created us. So how could you be against his creation if you love God?
Yeah, I mean, I get... I like that. I mean, that's a hard question to answer. It's not really that hard, actually. But the question, the alternative is really not pro-choice. It's really pro-death, right? And that's what I would argue as well. Do you want to speak to that?
Since I work in this industry, as they would say, they always ask me, Shirley, are you pro-life or are you pro-choice? And I always tell people, I'm pro you choosing life so that you don't have to choose death. So make a choice for life. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to go there and make a choice and say, I'm choosing death. So I'm pro you making a choice so that you don't have to choose a life. That's what I'm really saying. Make a choice so you don't have to choose somebody's life and say, when does the baby start? When does the heartbeat start? We are Christians. We choose life because God is life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if he dwells in us, then we're life. So we should choose life. That's how I would answer that.
Good. These are great questions, guys. Thank you for sending them in. Charles, hit me back. Can pro-choice activists be targeted for condemnation?
I guess if you look at like pro-choice, a lot of those people, they're militantly pushing like the abortion agenda, and a lot of them, they don't have a heart for God. They are pushing it's basically all about death, and like behind Planned Parenthood and everything, there's just this huge force of evil. You can go on the internet and like look into the history of it. It's just a spiritual death behind the pro-choice movement.
There are people who are really hardcore pro-choice, and I think the history and the spirit of that is really kind of crazy. You want to just speak to that a little bit?
So just as like a brief, the lady that started Planned Parenthood, her name is Margaret Sanger, and actually she's just pure evil. She looks like a nice little old lady, but she actually has ties to like the Nazis, and she was pushing eugenics, where she actually specifically targeted black neighborhoods. So if you look at Planned Parenthood, 80% of them are in low income, which is really just code for non-white neighborhoods. And she wanted to destroy the black population. She also wanted to destroy all the disabled. And that's also, I think, part of the push behind when they're tested for Down syndrome to see if their children will have it, they want to put them to death before they're born. And actually, as Daniel said, my sister supposedly had Down syndrome, but she just graduated from Cal. So she ended up being born perfectly fine. The only defect was a small ear tag, but somehow the doctors thought she had Down syndrome. So that's not always true either. And there's just a lot of other evil behind Planned Parenthood, but just go on Google if you're interested, and you'll find way too much information. It might make you cry.
For those of you guys who don't know, eugenics was a study that we got into years back, and that was kind of basically taking humans and kind of proposing evolutionary theory on them and saying that some races of people are actually lower on the evolutionary scale, so they tried to kind of get rid of them. And so she was part of kind of that eugenics movement, and she felt that like the black people were lower on the evolutionary. This is real stuff, so we're not making this up. It's really creepy when you think about it. And so she oftentimes wanted to kind of get rid of that population a little bit. So she, a lot of the abortion from Planned Parenthood perspective came out of that. Eugenics. Euthanasia is kind of like the opposite side of abortion, where we don't kill the unborn, we kill the elderly because they're no longer, quote-unquote, the way we want them, or they're draining healthcare systems because they're you know, taking up a lot of time in the hospitals and stuff. Charles, go ahead, man. Hit me back. Good question, you guys. Is a miscarriage the same as abortion? You want to take this one?
So a miscarriage is when the body itself spontaneously pushes out the fetus or the child. And 1 in 5 pregnancies end in a miscarriage. Most people don't know that. So 1 in 5 pregnancies will end in a miscarriage. What I can tell you is a lot of girls come in, find out they're pregnant, and they plan and pay Planned Parenthood for an abortion, but they're going to miscarry. So that's why our center offers these ultrasounds. So even if you're making an informed decision, some people are getting an abortion and their body is already going to miscarry. There's no way to tell why and when. The nurses can tell you, you know, if you have the symptoms of that. But 1 in 5 pregnancies end in a miscarriage.
Good questions. Charles, hit me back. How do people feel after an abortion?
There's a lot of emotions that happen. Usually people go into a state of denial. Denial means the acronym that they use is didn't even know I experienced the lie. And so they carry denial and they go through different phases. Some of them get pregnant again because they're at an atonement phase. And have you guys heard of that term before, atonement? The root word of that is at one. They want to get at one with God again, to be in the same place. Some people go into depression. Some have other babies. Some have eating disorders. There's an increase of drugs and alcohol for those who had an abortion. There are multiple partners. There's an emptiness that they're trying to fill a void. And so there's anger. The numbers are high for depression. There's guilt and shame. How many of us in this room who've had an abortion could come up here and say that they could? You couldn't, because the guilt and shame would keep you in your seat, because you think that everyone would think bad of you. And so there's a lot of side effects emotionally, spiritually. Anything that God has asked us not to do that we do is a sin. And so God doesn't turn from us. We turn from him. And so what abortion does is we go into our own guilt and our own shame, and then we try to praise and worship, and we have this guilt nature. And so I want you guys, if you get a chance, and Pastor Dan is going to tell you, there's some brochures in the back, and in the brochure it gives you some symptoms of emotional side effects, spiritual side effects. And not to mention, if you're one of these people who has a physical, I just was on Facebook and saw a beautiful young lady who went to have an abortion on Friday morning and died Friday night. So now I'm not going to try to scare you. Abortion is pretty much, a lot of women have it, not a lot of women die, but the one who did was too many. And you won't know if you're that person. So this beautiful woman, 24 years old, walked in, the doctor wasn't prepared for what happened, and then she died. So now her family is lawyering up, and it's going to be on. And so you put your family at this disadvantage when they're trying to help you. So yes, there are side effects, and there's emotional and there's spiritual consequences when we make a decision that's so major to choose from life from our womb.
Charles, go ahead, hit me back again. Should we rise up and protest against abortion? Wow, that's a good question. What should we do? Should we protest? Have you guys seen the, there's a truck that drives around with like dead babies all plastered all over it. Have you guys seen that truck? I've seen that truck. Yeah, I saw it on the Golden Gate Bridge once. It's a big truck and it has like sliced up babies driving around. And yeah, I think I'm going to give you guys my own personal opinion on this. I think if you guys really want to be pro-life and you really want to show that you're pro-life, then I would encourage you guys to be the messengers of what we just talked about right now. And go into your schools and speak to your friends about how important it is to be pro-life, to understand that what grows inside of you is not cells, to understand that there is a child inside of you, to understand the seriousness of sexual immorality and the side effects of doing things that you're not prepared for. I would encourage you to pray for those people around you who you know are doing things and who are pregnant. Prayer is a powerful thing. I want to release you guys to be ambassadors for the pro-life movement, but really do it in a way that's honoring to God and that's loving people. Also, if you guys feel called to go, and I know there's a lot of people who picket abortion clinics and who drive around with crazy signs. I don't know if that's the best thing to do, but if that's what you feel God is calling you to do, then you know, do it. I mean, I'm not gonna stop you. I don't think peaceful demonstrations in front of Planned Parenthood are horrible. I think we have the right to assemble. Those are our rights. And so if you want to do it in a way that honors God and in a way that's being respectable to other people, you know, because it's not just about the truth. It's about us communicating the truth in love, right? And a lot of times we go out there and we want to give them the truth, but we forget that love component, right? And the love part is the conduit, right? It's what carries the truth so they can hear it. Right. And so if we forget to package the truth in love, what happens is people get hardened and they don't even want to hear that truth anymore. So I would ask that however you guys feel that God has burdened you to be pro-life, to do it in a way that honors God. So if it's you going in front of Planned Parenthood and maybe making a stand, please remember that you represent me
in front of Planned Parenthood because I'm a Christian. You represent Jesus. So do it in a way that honors God. If God chooses you to be an advocate at school, making a club or doing something, then please remember you represent Christ in how you do this. So I think that's the most important thing. So let's give our panel a hand, you guys. We want to thank you guys for coming up here. We really appreciate it. If any of you guys have any more questions, come on up and talk to us. We'll hang out for a few more minutes. There are brochures in the back. We got brochures about the morning after pill, brochures about making a decision, a decision. Hold on, hold on. They're all in the back, and we got another brochure. This one is Real Options. This is information on the organization, right? On the information of Real Options, they're a local organization. So if you guys want more information, we got it for you. Let me close in prayer, and then I will dismiss you guys. And I want to thank you guys for your participation. Thank you guys for sending in your questions. That was awesome. Those were great questions. We're going to continue to do this series. We got some great topics coming up. So let's continue to make this a great series where we can ask hard questions and be able to find answers for some of these things that we have questions for. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you for organizations like Real Options, Lord, for being there to stand to try to really save lives, Lord, save the life of the unborn babies, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless Real Options, Lord. I pray that you had favor on them, Lord, that you would protect them from the spirit of death, Lord, that really surrounds this entire debate, Lord, and that you would have favor on them and move on them, Lord, to be able to save lives and save souls, Lord, and be an organization, Lord, that brings life, Lord, into an industry of death, Lord. Not just human life, but spiritual life, Lord. And so, and I just pray for every individual in here, Lord, some who maybe have experienced abortion, some who have friends and family members who have experienced abortion, some who have talked to friends this very weekend, Lord, and they are thinking about having an abortion, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would give us courage, Lord, to be able to speak up in the midst of this conversation, Lord, that you would give us boldness, Lord, to be able to proclaim to our friends that what is dwelling inside of them is not tissue, Lord, but it is life, Lord, and you have a plan and a purpose for that life, Lord. I pray, Lord, for each and every person in here, Lord, that you would give them peace this week, Lord. I pray as we make preparations to go back to school sales are going on, Lord, and all that, Lord, that you would be with us as we move, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.